SF Signal episode 75. We're back. This is the SF Signal podcast as powered by the Functional Nerds. That's me. Hi, my name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And since John Anilio never really comes on the show anymore, I'm just claiming that for myself. And tonight, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. First, I want to congratulate Jamie on the birth of his child.
Thank you. Yes.
I also want to send out congratulations to Karen Burnham.
Yes.
Karen and Curtis had a baby boy, Gavin, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, 20.5 inches. Can you beat that, Jamie?
No, we were 6 pounds, 15 ounces, and 19 and three quarters inches.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't it funny how parents know that down to the quarter inch?
Can I just say, as a mother, I would say that the smaller baby is considered the win.
Not the large one. I have to agree with you there.
Yeah, he did win. Yes, very much so.
He
did much win. Rather have a smaller one.
You know, I actually suggested to Karen that a great name for a baby would be John, Jeff, Patrick, Lisa, Mer, Jamie, Burnham, but she didn't go Signal. For that. So yes,
and you thought having three names was a little bit insane.
So tonight we're going to talk about novellas, and I do need to introduce all these people whose voices you've already heard. Let's start with Jeff Patterson.
Hi, Jeff Patterson. I blog at Gravity Lens, which can be found at baddaystudio.com.
Next, with the very cool Ronin icon, would be Mighty Mer Lafferty.
Hi there. I'm Mer Lafferty. I am the editor of Escape Pod and the podcaster behind I Should Be Writing and Angry Robot Books podcast, and I also write some things.
Yes.
Including the Afterlife series, which is available via ebook.
Which I have just started.
Oh, yay.
Yep. And speaking of someone who has books out in ebooks, let's say hello to Lisa Pate Spindler.
Hello there. I'm Lisa Pate Spindler. I run the Danger Gal blog at lisapatespindler.com. And my first novelette, came out way back in March.
And what's the name of it?
The Spiral Path.
Thank you. And you're working on book two, right?
I am, yes.
Now, see, Mer's a little bit ahead of you with the Afterlife series because she has Heaven, Hell, and is it War?
Heaven, Hell, Earth, Wasteland, and War.
Five of them. Okay, so I'm way behind.
Yeah. Well, I started in 2006.
Wow. Anyway, yeah, she did a very cool Kickstarter campaign, and now she's got these ebooks out, and very cool stuff. I just started at Mer, so give me some time, and I'll get caught up. Next, we have... Well, I feel bad. I want to read as fast as I possibly can. Next, we have Jamie Todd Rubin.
Hi, Jamie Todd Rubin. I'm a science fiction writer and blogger. My most recent story was in the June Analog. I do the Wayward Time Traveler column for SF Signal, and my website is jamietoddrubin.com.
Very cool. We've talked about novels. We've talked about short stories. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about novellas. Do you read novellas? What are some examples of novellas that you've enjoyed and why? And let's start with Lisa.
I enjoy novellas so much that I wrote one. That was my first published work, actually. I think it's a great length because I don't think that every concept in a science fiction novel needs to be spun out to its bitter end. I kind of like leaving something a little bit for the reader to imagine once you get to the end of a story. And sometimes as a reader, those, bricks of a novel with the little tiny print, sometimes I just don't have the attention span for it. So sometimes it's really enjoyable to just be able to sit down and finish a story all in one sitting.
Sure. By the way, Mer, just so you understand, you can jump in if you have a comment at some point.
I was not planning on being rude while Lisa was talking, Patrick.
I know, but I'm just saying this is your first panel, so I kind of want to lay stuff out there for you. Where do you find novellas, Lisa?
Sometimes I find them in actually anthologies, even though sometimes those are shorter stories. But a lot of ebooks are really, I think, a good place to look because I think that there's not much of a print market for novellas. So, I think right now I'm working through the Shine anthology, which came out a few years ago because it's upbeat. and it's something I kind of need to read right now.
Okay, Jamie?
Yes, I do read novellas. And kind of like Lisa was saying, I heard a quote somewhere, and I don't remember who or where, and you'll probably get dozens of comments telling you where I heard this or from who I heard it, but it goes something like, a novella is the perfect form for science fiction because it's long enough for world building and short enough to read in an afternoon, which is sort of, I think, what Lisa was saying. You can read it in one sitting, and I find them, you know, I find Asimov's and Analog still publish novellas fairly regularly. When Science Fiction Age was publishing, they used to publish some novellas from time to time. I don't see too many novellas in FNSF, I don't think, but I haven't been reading that as much lately. And then, of course, there's some that are just published standalone, whether in ebook format or otherwise, but print format. Some of the smaller presses will publish novellas, and so I think they're pretty easy to find still.
I see a lot coming in from Subterranean.
Yes, well, there were two. I think with the Hugos, there were two from Subterranean. It was Ted Chiang and Rachel Swirsky.
Is that one?
There was also The Alchemist and the Executionist last year from Tobias Bekele and Paolo Bacigalupi, and that was just amazing. It was excellent. They shared the world building but told two different stories, and it was released via Audible, and then Subterranean picked it up.
That's right. I remember that. So, Murr, what
excellent stories.
What's your take on all this?
Well, I know the topic is novellas, but I do want to take it into self-publishing or podcast publishing or whatever a little bit, because I like it because you don't have to write to an editor's specifications. When I wrote Heaven, I started the story and then I wrote till I was done. And it just seemed like a good series that I could tell in novella form. I didn't have to cut it down to short story form, and I didn't have to buff it up to be a novel, because it didn't matter how big it was because I was releasing it just by myself. And mm-hmm. So as a writer, I love it, because people say you can't sell it, but you know, there still are people buying it. And now with ebooks, we have more options than ever. As for reading, I find myself actually, novellas seem to grab me, and I don't realize how much I've read. For example, I'm not going to say who it is until I get the contract signed, but I was reading an author's, anthology, and I started reading something that I thought was like, you know, I knew it was longer than a short story, but I was so into it. And I contacted him and I said, hey, can I have the rights to this story? And he's like, yeah, it's about 29,000 words. I'm like, okay, I guess. I had no idea. I was so into it. I did not count the passing of time. I just read it and it was awesome. And, you know, that's a really good story that can keep, grab you and tell the story, and then, you know, you can be done with it in an evening.
So that seems to be a common theme between the three of you, that it's something that you can read quickly in one sitting.
Yeah, but it's not a short bite like a short story.
Right, but there's enough meat in it to make you feel like you've had, you know, I'm going to totally piss off the vegans here, to make you feel like you had a full meal. but not so much that you're sitting there on the couch, you know, going, oh, I ate too much. Does that make sense?
Yes.
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 Yes. I think it has a different focus than a short story, because a short story, you really have to drill down and figure out exactly some little piece of someone's life, let's say, that you want to talk about. But with a novella, you have a lot more space to work with, and you can work with themes that you're used to seeing in science fiction novels.
Understood. Jeff?
I tend to find that reading a novella, like, on a Sunday afternoon really tends to dominate my day. You know, it's like I get done with it and I really don't want to read anything else if it's been well done. Another thought that goes through my mind is that Zelazny's Damnation Alley, George R. R. Martin's Night Flyers, and Ellison's Boy and His Dog were all novellas in their original form, and oddly enough, they were all kind of movies that are painful to watch. So, but there's been a lot of really good ones. Word for Word as Forest is another one that's really considered a classic in the canon. That was a novella in its original publication. They, if you, it's so weird. I found myself looking at various pages that listed all the nominees for novellas in Hugo and Nebula history, and it is just stunning how clear almost each one that I had read stood out in my mind, where if I read a similar list of short stories, the content of the stories really doesn't, you know, doesn't stay as fresh for some reason.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because of what you talked about the heft and the significant gravity wells that these stories form around them, that you get characters that are a bit more memorable. I mean, John Scalzi's God Engines from last year is a perfect example. I mean, just, you know, you've got these, you know, four or five characters in an ensemble plus the protagonist, and it just, each one of them just really carves a path through your head as you're reading. You really get a lot more room to play, and also you can build up to the real eyeball kick scenes a lot more effectively.
Now, Karen sent me an email where she said, I can pretty much guarantee that I won't make the podcast. Talk about foreshadowing there. However, you might consider mentioning the Ben Bova edited volume SFWA Hall of Fame Volume 2B, which consists of novellas voted to be the best by the SFWA membership of the 1970s. It's got all-time classics like John W. Campbell's Who Goes There, Lester Del Rey's Nerves, she gave me a name I can't pronounce. Cordwainer Smith's The Ballad of Lost Samael, and Jack Williamson's With Folded Hands.
Yep.
So my question, and I'm going to start with Murr. What are some examples of some novellas that have really stuck out in your mind, and why?
You know, it's funny. When you said that, I realized I have not read a lot of novellas, like, throughout my life. I didn't recognize any of those, I'm quite ashamed to say. But
don't be, because I used to think I was really well-read until I met Karen.
We've already said a lot of them. The Alchemist and the Executionist really, really bowled me over. They were very powerful stories, especially the Executionist. Tobias Bekele took this idea of this woman. He wanted to make a middle-aged mother a protagonist because, frankly, there aren't a lot in a fantasy setting. And that one's really powerful. And going back, the God Engines, going back to that as well, there's one thing I love about the fact that the God Engines was a novella is because there's so much about the society that you have to guess at.
Mm. Yeah.
He doesn't explain, like, did anybody else catch that the companion, prostitute, whatever person on the ship never has a gendered pronoun?
Hmm.
He left that out purposefully. And, you know, I don't know if you could carry that for a book, but for a novella, it just made you go, huh, what's up with that? And, you know, the religion got enough information to be interesting, but not, it didn't, like, drown you in world building. And don't get me wrong, I like to be drowned in world building from time to time, but sometimes it's really neat just to have a peek in and make you wonder. Other good ones, I enjoy when James Patrick Kelly writes longer stuff. Plus or Minus was his recent one, and he got nominated for the Hugo and the Nebula, and that was awesome. What else? It's hard to say, really. It's. I've read so many good ones recently, and of course the one that I'm about to buy. But like I said, I'm going to keep that one under wraps.
I don't blame you one bit, Jamie.
Well, I came up with a list of 10 in no particular order.
Give us five.
All right. So five. I'll sort of pick these are sort of all throughout the span of from the Golden Age to more or less the present. And I'd say something like from way back when, Isaac Asimov's The Dead Hand, which is part of the original Foundation trilogy. How about Harlan Ellison's Mephisto and Onyx? Nancy Kress's Beggars in Spain. Christine Catherine Rush's Recovering Apollo 8, and Michael A. Burstein's Sanctuary. I think those are all examples of novellas that really had an impact on me. It was funny, I didn't read Beggars in Spain when it first came out. I read it like 3 years ago in a David Hartwell anthology, And I sat down to read it, and it was one of those things where I was about to go to bed and thought, okay, I'll start this story, and didn't realize it was a novella, and stayed up till like 3 o'clock in the morning reading it.
But isn't that, I mean, and for all three of you, isn't that the best feeling though, when you sit down to read something and you cannot stop reading it?
It is. Yeah. And it made me, it not only was it one of those things where you think, wow, this is an incredible story, and how did I not know about this? But it made me a Nancy Kress fan. I mean, I've been reading everything she's written ever since. So you know, it has that sort of value also. But I just think it's a great form, because it does have that sort of depth that allows you to really kind of pulls you into it, but doesn't consume your week or anything like that.
Lisa.
Well, I'm with Murr that I wasn't terribly familiar with a lot of the ones that Karen mentioned, but I do know that I want to work my way through all the Hugo nominees. But as far as something that really stuck with me, I think it's fantasy rather than science fiction, but Diana Paxson had a series of very short novels out, which I think probably qualify as novellas. And I think it was might have been the Book of the Sword, the Spear, the Cauldron, the Stone. I went through a whole sort of Diana Paxson period of my life where I read pretty much everything she wrote. And I know that those, I read them right back to back, hardly stopping, because they were all short, and I loved them.
I think that Murr touched on something earlier when she was mentioning self-publishing and the ebook market. That really does open up a lot of opportunities for folks to be able to push stuff out. You know, I wrote a 10,000 word piece not too long ago, and I sent it around to a couple people, and they're like, "Oh, it's too long. No one will ever buy that." Well, there is an alternative, you know, and I think that the ebook market is a place where people can find a lot of these novellas. But I don't necessarily know that you're going to know that. Does that make sense? It's like you're going to search for books. You won't know that they're novellas.
Right. Can I go back? Because I'm rather ashamed that I completely forgot Connie Willis's novellas. One of my favorite books of hers that's not a Christmas story is Bellwether, which was actually bound in paperback, but it's a pretty tiny book. But it's an amazing, I think it technically qualifies as a novella, but a lot of her Christmas stories, especially in recent years, have been novellas, All Seated on the Ground, just like the ones we used to know. A Miracle, I think, is a novella. And she just, I'm a sucker for Christmas, and I love her stories. And it's just Connie Willis writes a Christmas story that has science fiction in it, and I'm there. I read it every Christmas. That's my always reread thing. And I have the original Asimovs that had just like the ones we used to know, and I had her sign it, and it was all big fangirl squee moment. And the woman does an amazing novella.
Very cool. Okay,
she's got a Christmas. She's got a Christmas story coming out in Asimov's this next issue, I think, in the December.
Murr's like, yes, another one. I was just gonna say, any thoughts on where people can find novellas, other than, you know, just trying to find them online on like Amazon or something like that, Lisa?
I would just say ebook publishers. I mean, coming out of the romance genre, I know that there isn't a big market for smaller, for shorter fiction and romance, and a lot of publishers like my own, Carina Press, have picked up a lot of shorter stories out there that would appeal to, you know, both romance and science fiction audiences.
Interesting. Jamie?
I think it's tricky because if you're not sort of into the whole how stories are divided up for award purposes and things like that, you might not know that you're looking for a novella. Yeah, I think you're just looking for, you know, longer short fiction, if that makes sense. So I mean, like I said, in the magazines that I read still, they're divided up that way in the table of contents. You'll see short story, novelette, novella. And a lot of times, I've seen in bookstores or on Amazon or in ebooks, you know, writers have been putting out stuff that is not a novel length, but is long, and it's labeled as novella. I mean, even Steve Martin came out with a couple of novellas, five or six years ago, and they were published as small hardcover books, but they were novellas. I mean, it said right on the cover. So it's kind of a tricky area to look for.
Steve Martin slays me. He's a good writer.
He is.
He's written several films, I know. He's just a wild and crazy guy.
I hear that.
Good way to describe.
Jeff, any thoughts on where people could go specifically to find novellas?
I find that the best ones that I've read in the last few years have been in the themed anthologies. Not so much not the general, Year's End, even though you can normally get those as well, but Transhuman and Engineering Infinity and a few others. In fact, some anthologies have just been exclusively novellas. 1 Million AD that Gardner Desbois did. There was one a while back called Futures. I forget who edited it. And there were quite a few in, I think it was the Far Horizons anthology that Silverberg did, where he had a bunch of authors go back and revisit various universes they had written in before. And it always kind of shocks me when I see so few of the anthologized original novellas, make the final. We've seen that change in the last couple of years, but I always find the best ones in there. I mean, I read God Machines, which is where Troika by Alistair Reynolds, which got nominated this past year, was, and I just loved that anthology. It was spectacular, and I thought all the stories in it were really good. Asimov's and Analog and Fantasy and Science Fiction as well, are all very heavy hitters when it comes to that, and their records are still better than average when it comes to hits and misses.
Murr, do you know of any podcasters out there pushing out novellas?
Well, Escape Pod is starting to do novelettes, not on a regular basis, but I'll buy it if it impresses me. But I usually only want it from established people, simply because it's a lot more reading in the slush pile.
Sure.
But we are buying more. Podcastle is doing what they call the Giants. And they're doing more longer fiction. Hub Magazine published one of my novellas called Marco and the Red Granny in a serialized audio form. And I think they were going to continue doing that, but I don't think they've put up anything since.
I was just going to ask you, didn't Escape Pod just hit a milestone?
Yes, we did episode 300. We commissioned a story from Tim Pratt. That was awesome, and we're now in the early tens, I think. It's hard to keep up, especially since the computer gets to say the number of the podcast, not me. So it's hard for me to remember what number we're on. But yes, I did pay attention to number 300. Thank you for mentioning that.
No problem. All right, well, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I'm actually kind of glad that John DiNardo wasn't able to be on with us tonight, because then I'd have two of my bosses on the podcast with me, and that would that would just be worlds colliding.
Yes, because all I've been doing is sitting here judging you.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Yes.
Judge.
I'm weak. All right. Well, I appreciate
every week. So.
Hey, no comments from the center square. I appreciate you guys coming on. Everybody should go check out Murr's website. Go check out Jamie's stuff. Jeff, you don't have a website, do you? Well, you have your blog.
I blog. I have all kinds of stuff on there. Holiday cards, all my Christmas stories.
Ooh, Christmas stories.
Yes. Go to baddaystudio.com. You'll find a whole pile of Christmas stories. I got a book of the first 11 out.
Awesome.
You just may have made a fan.
Yay!
Working on this year's as we speak.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks again to our panelists for coming on the show. We do appreciate it. We obviously gave you a long list of novellas, so go out and read some. Some things you can do for us in the meantime, go to iTunes, subscribe, give us a couple stars, write us a review. All those things help us. Tell your friends about this podcast and help us build our listenership. Follow John D on Twitter, twitter.com/SFSignal. He is tweeting all the time. He's got cool stuff there, so go follow him. If you're looking for me online, I am twitter.com/ATFMB or ATFMB.com is my blog. I occasionally contribute things over at sfsignal.com as well, along with all the other people that come on the podcast. So sfsignal.com, great resource. Go over there, check things out. You've got tons and tons of content all day long. If you have any thoughts, suggestions, comments, or questions, hey, that rhymed. Cool. You can call us on our voicemail line, 720-277-9082. If you don't want to make a long-distance phone call, go to sfsignal.com, find one of the podcast posts, and there is a Flash widget. You do have to have Flash enabled to see it, but it's a Flash widget that Google provides. You just plug your phone number in, and then Google will call you. We don't store the number. We don't see the number, so that's an alternative if you don't want to make that phone call. You can also send us an email. I want to say it's voicemail at sfsignal.com, but to be honest with you, I use it so rarely, I could be horribly, horribly wrong. I believe there's a link on the post, so go check that out as well. We are going to have another Worldcon interview later on this week, so look for that on Thursday, and then we'll be back next week with more podcast. I think that's it for me. I am out of here. It's been a long weekend. I feel like I should be writing.